Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, here we go on a Monday. It's Cody in Gold, Alex Gold, Drew Nixon producing the show. Logan Weber, he is in for Cody today. Cody is back on Wednesday. Jay Binkley in tomorrow. It is a Monday, so you guys know at noon today, Andy Reid will speak with the media exclusively here on 96.5 The Fan. That'll be coming up at noon. And this is the first time, honestly, I think in the almost 6 years now that this show has existed where we have done a show after a game quite like yesterday and a spot where this organization sits. The first time, right? Normally we're doing shows maybe after an AFC title game loss one time. We're doing a show after a Super Bowl loss. Those are one things. Everybody's down. Everybody's disappointed. This is the first time we're doing a show and there are real reasons why this team is not going to make the postseason. Real reasons why this organization is in a point in their dynasty, if you still think the dynasty is going, that they have to pivot in one direction or the other and that changes might be necessary. This is a different type of feeling and a different type of show than we've probably ever done since we've been doing this show. And I want you guys to interact with us as always on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line 913-586-7965. We'll take calls in the second segment of the show. So starting around 10:30, we're not going to take calls in the first segment, but I promise you we'll take calls. We'll get to your texts. I want to hear from you guys. I know a lot of you have a lot of thoughts. A lot of you want to vent and get your feelings about the future of this season. And frankly, the future of the franchise to a certain extent because of where the trust is right now, I think, Logan, with certain people in place to make the proper decisions moving forward as well. But I want to make sure you guys know we will get to your calls coming up at 10:30 and throughout the show right here on 96.5 The Fan. But let's start with yesterday in particular. We can get to the playoff conversation and where things are at, because I thought, and I'm guilty of this as well, you are not going to hear me ever again on this show cite Andy Reid post bye week stat. I'm done with it. I'm done because that was the performance out of the bye week, the 22-4, whatever the heck the record was. And again, I said, this is not putting blame on anybody else. I did the same thing. I'm done with talking about that because that was the self-scout. That was the type of performance that the entire coaching staff, and yes, Patrick Mahomes as well, we'll get to him. He's part of this equation, no question, with what happened yesterday, what has happened this season. Like, Andy Reid, Steve Spagnuolo, Dave Tobe, I thought it was their worst coaching performance easily of the season, considering everything that was at stake. You're coming off a bye week. You know, a lot of the confidence going in the game, Logan, was that this was essentially a playoff game for the Chiefs. Everything on the line, backs against the wall. Typically, that's when Mahomes is at his best. It's when Andy Reid's at his best, when Dave Tobe and Steve Spagnuolo, Chris Jones are all at their best. The only guy in that group that was somewhat better than they have been all year was Chris Jones.
Yeah.
And it wasn't his best, but it was his best of the season, I guess, I would argue. But that was the coaching performance. That was the quarterback performance out of a bye week. That's a sign that things are different. We're going to get to the, you know, it was this the start of the king being completely knocked down in the entire NFL, let alone just the division. But I don't know where you're at. I got a lot of thoughts, obviously. But that being the performance out of the bye week is what makes it even more frustrating.
There's something of an argument to be had for, and I heard multiple people say it yesterday. Yeah, I know the Chiefs were coming off a bye week, but the Denver Broncos had the Thursday night game, so they had a mini bye week of their own. I don't care. I really don't. The Broncos had 10 days to prepare. The Chiefs had 14, and this is still how it panned out. Now, the beginning script of the game, I think from the perspective of Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, played out really, really well. There was a serious and egregious level of a lack of execution from the Kansas City Chiefs offense in that first drive of the football game. And I hate to kind of knock on the guy because I still believe he's the best player on the planet. But Patrick Mahomes' lack of execution in that first drive was horrendous. You had not one, but two touchdowns on the first drive of the football game, and you overthrew both guys. That is sort of indicative of the larger problem that has been facing this team all year long. It seems like in the biggest moments when they need it the most, that lack of execution, that killer mentality that we've always seen from them just hasn't panned out so far this year. What you said about Dave Tobe, yeah, something's got to give. I don't know. I'm not sitting here advocating for the firing of Dave Tobe by any means, because he has long been considered one of the best special teams coordinators in football. But my goodness, how long are we going to have to continue to just ignore the special teams woes of this football team? Penalties on every punt return and every kickoff return, missed kicks, blocked kicks, messing up the kick on a kickoff for the second time now this season. When's it going to give?
Yeah, we can go one by one. I mean, there's plenty of blame around yesterday. I think from starting with coaching, I mean, with Andy Reid, I think it's very simple that you came out of a bye week and this was the plan going in, a very predictable Kansas City Chiefs offense. And we all know, I think the part that has everybody the most frustrated about yesterday, and this has been at times an issue going back to his days in Philadelphia, but the Chiefs have been able to overcome what is clearly just a clear coaching flaw, right? No coach is perfect, but a clear coaching flaw. And when your team is simply not as good as they have been over the last 5 to 7 years, it is one that now gets you more than it did 2 years ago, more than it did 3 years ago. That is your complete unwillingness to pivot from what you actually want to do. Does that make sense? Like, clearly Andy Reid wants to win a certain way, and he has won a ton of football games. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Nobody is suggesting that that's not the case. However, there's a clear issue with what he wants to do, how he wants to close out a game, and what in that moment, like yesterday, is the best path to closing out said game. And I am, of course, talking about running the football. A complete lack of interest, willingness, stubbornness, all of it is the cause of it. They had the ball, Logan, as you know, with the lead, 3 and out, not a single pass play. They tried to run on first down, and then Noah Gray, I think, was false starting. And then they said, well, screw it. God forbid us try to go back to that. So then they pass, predictable. They punt it back to the Denver Broncos. As we all know, the Broncos end up at that point in time tying the game up at 19. It's 19-19. So the Chiefs get the ball again with just under four minutes or right above 4 minutes to go in the game. So at that point, they already went 3 and out. They get the ball back. It's tied. They go 3 and out again. And what do they not do? They don't run the ball a single time. And if you go back, and we're on this show, we joke all the time. I'm not going back and watching film or anything like that. That's not, this is just common sense stuff, watching the game, right? The Broncos had zero respect or thought that the Chiefs themselves were willing to run the football. Like, they watch film too. They know the track record of Andy Reid in this offense, right? As well. Andy Reid was not going to run the ball. Kareem Hunt, nobody's suggesting that he's an all-pro running back or anything like that, but he was effective yesterday. He was averaging in the first half 4.9 yards per carry. This was not a Kareem Hunt issue yesterday whatsoever. This was in the final two drives, 3 and out, not a single run play. Make them think you're going to run. The Broncos were not worried about that. And so then when you try to even do play action off of it, it has no effect because they know you're not willing to run. That's where it's on Andy Reid. Then if we keep going, Logan, let's go to Steve Spagnuolo, who I think is still one of the best defensive coordinators we've seen in the NFL's history. yesterday and across this season. Predictability again. I'll call it a little less stubbornness, just more predictability on his side of things. I thought there was one stat in particular that was very telling. The Chiefs on 3rd and 10 or more, all right, allowing 3rd and 10 or more to be converted in a one score game in the fourth quarter. We all know the history of the Chiefs' success leading up to this season,
right?
One score games. They won 12 of them in one score games. They're 0-5 this year. So this year they have given up 4 3rd and 10s or longer in a one score game in the fourth quarter. 4 of them. Last year, you know how many they gave up?
I'm going to guess 0.
0, Logan. You know how many they gave up in 2023? 2. In 2022, 3. 21, 1. 2022, 2019, 1. And 2018, 1. They have already given up, in some cases, three more times than any other in the Steve Spagnuolo era. What I'm getting at is the disguising the unpredictable nature, which is what makes Steve Spagnuolo so amazing at what he has done throughout his career. It ain't working anymore. They have not adjusted. That's the biggest thing that I think is frustrating. And everybody has been targeting you for 5 to 7 years. You're the Kings. You're winning Super Bowl after Super Bowl. And you have kept the staff together. And on one hand, we praise that they've been able to keep the staff together. On the other hand, though, you have to consistently adjust. And this game in particular, and really this season in particular, is all about their inability to pivot from what they do. And how do you pivot from that? Do you need new people in the building? That's an off-season conversation.
Right.
Can you make those adjustments now that you see it not working in season? Are you willing to do that?
You have to. I mean, I know it's a cliche, but it's a cliche because it's true. Take what the defense gives you. And we saw it throughout that first half. And you're exactly right. Sean Payton knew, this Denver coaching staff knew, no matter how successful Kareem Hunt was in the running game, they still weren't going to make running the football a priority. And so you're right. When they did get 5 yards on 1st and 10 on a running play, nobody's being fooled by a play action on 2nd down because everybody in the world knows you're going to throw the football. And again, there is something to be said for, you've got Patrick Mahomes at quarterback, and how do you justify taking the football out of his hands in certain situations? But sometimes you have to do what's best for him, even when it means he doesn't get the football on a particular play. There were 3 separate occasions in last night's game yesterday, Alex, where the Chiefs had a 3rd and 2 or a 3rd and 1 situation. And all 3 times they threw the football. You've got Kareem Hunt. They've talked about it ad nauseum over the last few weeks, how successful the Chiefs have been running the football with Kareem Hunt on 3rd or 4th down and 2 or shorter so far this season, with their ability to convert first downs or turn it into touchdowns. And yet all 3 of those times in big moments of the game, you decided to go ahead and throw the football. Sometimes what's best for you is not necessarily what you want to do. And you're exactly right. Andy Reid has always been more of a pass first guy, especially since he arrived in Kansas City.
Yeah, you just have to pivot on what is currently happening for your team. We like Patrick Mahomes, right? In that particular game as well, and in the last 2 weeks in particular, going back to the Buffalo game, was not as sharp. He hasn't been as sharp in some of these bigger moments. He's pressing, right? I think
yeah.
We're going to talk about him and Bo Nix later on in the show in particular. But when Patrick Mahomes is pressing, even if it's not how you want to play, you have to be willing to just run the football and win in a different way. To me, it's arrogance is what it is. Basically, it's ego and it's arrogance at that point in time. And I know, and we'll get to your texts and calls, I promise, guys. We'll get to them starting at 10:30. We'll open up the phone lines, 913-586-7965. I see a lot about the running backs. Like, hey, he doesn't have the running back. I think that's just inaccurate. I'm not suggesting that Kareem Hunt's a top running back in the league, but guys, I feel more confident than ever. If they would have traded for Breece Hall, or they could have Barry Sanders back there, Andy Reid still would have passed the football on those 2 drives.
Yep.
That's the bigger issue, that I willingness to win in a different way. And maybe, you know, we talk about, is this rock bottom and all that? If you think this team has any chance to quote unquote figure it out, and we're going to get to the playoff chances, et cetera, in a second, then they have to be willing to do something that they have really not shown they're willing to do during even this run. Someone said, stop talking about coaching. We'll get to Patrick Mahomes. Don't you worry. We will get to him. We'll get to player performances, drops from Rashee Rice, the reliance on Travis Kelce. He was great yesterday, but the fact that the offense is running through and relying on a, 36, 37-year-old tight end is also a problem. So I promise you, we'll get to the players. But if you're asking me just yesterday, who is the biggest reason for the loss, the biggest blame, coming out of a bye week, it 100% is the coaches for me. 100% starts with them. And then we get to Patrick Mahomes and others. It absolutely has to be a coaching staff issue when your team, who has a very similar roster, by the way, as a year ago, is now not winning in any one-score games. It's one thing to regress from 12-0 in one-score games. Like, I don't think they were going to be 12-0 again. That was historically great, not sustainable. But now you're 0-5? Like, regression the means that you know what, but at the same time, to this extent, your inability to win close games, we're going to get into phase one of what we talked about on Friday maybe happening, which was chopping the head of the king in the division. Now what's next, which is playoffs. We'll get to that at 10:30. But the AFC West run is obviously over. No kidding, right? It's done. I know mathematically they're not eliminated. We all know the AFC West is over. The question is the playoff run over? The run in playoffs, and for this case, the run of getting to a postseason with Patrick Mahomes and with Andy Reid. Remember, they have not missed a postseason since 2014. Mm-hmm. That's the last time they were not there. But they're 17-9 in their last 26 games decided by eight or fewer. Four straight losses, though, in that. Seven straight wins. That was the NFL record at the time.
Yeah, the 17 straight, yeah.
Yeah, and then five straight losses prior to that. Is the playoff run over for Kansas City? Because as I sit here today, despite what I just said, and I'm very frustrated, as you guys all are as well, I am not definitively saying today that the team is not making the playoffs. No, I'm not there yet, despite the issues, the path, the tough road ahead, I think they have to go 6-1 the rest of the way. I know 5-2, you get a bunch of help, but what help are you getting? You don't have the tiebreaker over Jacksonville. You don't have the tiebreaker currently over the Chargers. You'll play them later on, but they're also a couple wins in front of you. You have the tiebreaker over Baltimore, but I think Baltimore and Pittsburgh will sort themselves out through the division. And then we know the Texans currently have the tiebreaker over you. Now you do play them head-to-head later on in the season. I don't think 5-2 actually gets you in. I really don't. I think you need too much help and you don't have tiebreakers on your side. I think 6-1 would get you in. Obviously, winning out gets you in, and I have no reason to believe this team can win out. And so, to me, it comes down to the Colts game on Sunday. We'll talk about them later. And I understand the team lost yesterday, so it's very easy to sit here and say, like, how on earth do you think they possibly could win on Sunday? And I totally get that. But as I sit here today, no, I do not think they are not definitively making the playoffs. I do not think it's 100%. It's over. I know you and I were talking before the show. Where are you at on that?
I'm not going to say definitively that they can't make the playoffs, but I don't think they will. I lean towards this team not getting to the postseason this year. We will not be watching Kansas City Chiefs football in January. I just can't help but look at the other schedules of the other teams they're battling with right now. I mean, currently, they are the 9 seed in the AFC, meaning they have to jump not one, but two spots minimum in order to get into the playoffs. Chiefs remaining schedule, Colts on at home this week. Then it's on the road on a short week against the Dallas Cowboys, a team that has a really, really good offense. The defense has been lackluster, but they made some moves at the deadline that could make things a little bit more interesting in that game. Then you're at home on a long, you know, sort of mini bye against the Houston Texans, a Texans team, I might add, that is the only National Football League team with a better overall defense so far this year, numbers wise, than the Denver Broncos. They are the number one defense, total defense, in the National Football League. You got to play them coming off a short bye. Then it's the Chargers again. You got to play the Broncos again. The good part about that is that of those four or five teams that I just mentioned, you've got the majority of them, four of them, at home, right? You've got the Colts at home, Texans at home, Chargers and Broncos. The only road game is that Thanksgiving Day game against the Cowboys. But I look at the Texans, right? They've got the Bills this week on Thursday Night Football. Then it's on the road against the Colts, on the road against the Chiefs. They've got the Chargers on the road, Colts at home. So that leans towards the Chiefs having the better schedule in that one. So I would say you probably aren't competing as much with Houston. Baltimore, I'm with you on that. I think that Baltimore and or Pittsburgh is not really a threat in terms of the Chiefs' chances of making the postseason, because whoever wins that division will get in. The other team, I don't think, will be particularly close. Jacksonville, because you lost to them already, you're basically two games back of them right now. I know that the seedings would tell you, oh, Jacksonville 6-4, Chiefs are 5-5. If you tie, you're
right,
out
yeah.
because you have the head-to-head. With games against the Cardinals, Titans, Colts twice, Jets, Broncos, and Titans, if the Jacksonville Jaguars split those two games between the Colts, win one, lose one, and lose to the Broncos, they're going to get in. And you don't stand much of a chance.
So right now, we're going to get into what the odds say coming up in the next 25 minutes or so. By the way, make the playoffs minus 220, miss the playoffs plus 176. I don't know if people are just hearing what they want to hear or whatever. Maybe I spoke incorrectly, and I did not mean to say what somebody said I said, which is I'm not ready to say they're missing the playoffs. And people have taken that saying that I'm saying they're missing the playoffs. You sound way less. You are saying that you think they're missing the playoffs.
I lean towards them missing the playoffs.
And I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. While I acknowledge the path is very challenging for them, but I think if they look at the next 2 weeks, Colts and Cowboys, like I think you would even admit if they were to find a way to win those games, and I get it, we're talking about a team after a loss, so now everybody's acting like they're going to lose every single game the rest of the way. If they win the next two games, would you actually think they're making the playoffs then or no?
If they win both, yes.
Okay. So there's
I don't have a ton of confidence that they can win both.
So like right now, like I wouldn't, you know, someone's like put a bet in. Well, I'm not making a bet at minus 220. That's a terrible bet to make to make the playoffs. But I'll put it this way. Would you put money right now at plus 176 for them to miss the playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, and I wouldn't. That's the difference. That's where we differ on the path towards the postseason.
I think you guys should be more. I think this is all going to plan. I tried telling you guys this in July that this is exactly how it was going to go. They'd be 3-3 after six. They'd be 5-5 after 10, and they'll be okay. I think they'll be okay. And maybe that's me, of all people, being the optimist for the Chiefs in this situation. But for whatever reason, it feels like
this feels like a Drew troll right now.
If you want me to play the cut, I actually have it. I don't know if you want me to do that. It feels like this is one. Football's weird. And after all of this stuff, after how bad they looked yesterday, they're going to beat the Colts on Sunday. And then we'll see where it goes from there, because football is weird. And for whatever reason, they're going to keep on grinding and keep on getting after it. And I don't know if they're going to win out every game, like I said, but I think they can still legitimately make the playoffs because of the way that the Chargers look and how bad they have been. I know you don't have the tiebreaker with Jacksonville, but they might. I think they've got a legit shot of squeaking into that seventh spot. I understand why you might not think it, though, but based on how the Chargers look and the remaining schedule for the Chiefs and being at home, where there's been a vast difference, they showed it yesterday on the broadcast, between Patrick Mahomes' play at home versus on the road, it leads me to still think that they'll still make the playoffs.
Yeah, so look, I totally get anybody that's going to call in here in about 10 minutes or text in right now that says they're done, they're missing the playoffs. I totally get that point, and I totally get the reasoning, and I think you have some good reasoning behind it. I'm just not there yet. I'm shockingly, Drew and I are in agreement. Now, I don't know if they're winning out. I won't go that far, but
I don't think
that's the case whatsoever. I think it's going to be a massive uphill climb and need help along the way to get there. I still think they will find a way to get in, but that requires a win on Sunday against the Colts. That requires them not dipping below 500. If this team is under 500 at any point the rest of the season, it is over.
Yeah.
So that's why Sunday is that spot. And I know, you know, the odds of the game last night, the Chiefs were 4.5-point favorites and they lost. They're 3.5-point favorites against the Colts, and we'll see. So the odds do not mean anything. But I think they have one game wiggle room the rest of the way. I think they have to go 6-1 to ensure that they're in. 5-2, you're asking for some weird stuff to break your way with some tiebreakers. You need some other teams to probably have some significant injuries to cause some losses as well. You need a ton of help at that point in time. I don't think 10, because of the tie-breaking situation, 10 is not going to be good enough.
Yeah, and part of me, of course, is just joking, of course, because, I mean, me having somehow predicted correctly 5-5 is whatever. But I think this person phrased it well from the 6-2. If they continue to do and play the way that they have, they're not going to make it. I think we all can agree on that whether it's the play calling, whether it's Patrick Mahomes or defensively not being able to win any close games and get the stop when they need to or get the score when they need to put the game away. Yeah, it based on what we've seen the last few weeks, this team is not going to do enough to make the playoffs, given, as you said, the tiebreaker situation. It's obviously, we'll get to it when it happens, if it does, but it's really bad.
This was, by the way, Chris Jones on sitting at 5-5.
Well, we won 5 games and we lost 5 games, so we're at 500. And this week we play a really, really good team. And I think we have the pieces to, you know, win out. You know, but it starts with one game. Starts with us, especially offensive line, defensive line. You know, these next few games is going to be critical for us individually and also as a group for us to make sure we control the trenches.
That was Chris Jones after the game yesterday and just the reality of where they sit as an organization. This is new territory for most of the guys on this roster. In fact, I would say all the guys on the roster, because they have not been, they've had games where we talked on Friday, Logan, that they've been in a spot entering a game like they just were, and they've always won those. They've always, you know, they had the game against the Chargers back in 2023, I think it was. They had the game against the Raiders 3+ years ago that you referenced as well, and they always won those. And that's why this feels so different. Yesterday was a game in which in the past they always would win, which is why coming up on the other side, not only will we get to your text, you can call in if you want, 913-586-7965. We'll talk about phase one of, I think, a lot of NFL fans' dream just happened yesterday. We'll hear what Sean Payton had to say at halftime. He was spot on, unfortunately. That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
All right, just getting started here on a Monday, of course, talking about the Chiefs' loss to drop them to 5-5, division over, playoffs, it's up for debate. We'll get back into that conversation in particular a little bit later on in the show. As I told you, in the second segment of the show and the rest of the show, we'll be taking your calls and texts. We'll be keeping an eye on that, 913-586-7965. Anybody that wants to chime in, the phone lines will be wide open for you guys. You know we don't take a ton of calls on the show. Unfortunately, when we do take calls, it usually ends up being when there's, well, it's either after a Super Bowl championship, it's either after winning a title, or it's when things are bleak. And when things seem like everything is falling apart, well, you can guess what that is today, Logan. I would say that's where we sit. 913-586-7965. So welcome your perspective. You guys disagree with us, by all means, call in. We'll take your calls. Here in about 30 minutes, I do want to talk more about the bigger picture blame as well, not just yesterday, But who gets the most blame for the team being in this current spot? Whether it's Andy Reid, whether it's Brett Veach, Patrick Mahomes, maybe it's somebody I haven't even mentioned. We'll get to that coming up in 30 minutes. So if for those that are wondering why we haven't talked about the roster construction and Brett Veach, I promise you we'll get there as well, because that is part of this conversation, why they sit at 5-5 as well. So that's coming up in just a bit. I want to point out something, though, yesterday that happened, and we talked about, I don't know if you were with me, Logan, on Thursday or Friday. Obviously, you and Bink were filling in. But we mentioned kind of the fact that the Broncos had a validation game, an opportunity yesterday, like going in to validate their success, to validate that it's real, and also to validate for other teams, frankly, and other NFL fans. They're like, hey, this is not the same Chiefs team, as in, you know, chop it off the head of the king kind of thing. Part one was accomplished yesterday. Part two is them not making the playoffs, right, or being one and done, wild card exit, Mahomes not going to an AFC title game for the first time in his career. So part one is accomplished. The Broncos have shown that they run this division right this second. That's just the fact. There's, I know we don't like to say it. Someone texted in, said they're working with a Broncos fan. Good luck to you today. Good luck to you today. He gets to talk his, you know what, today, though. He gets to say whatever he wants today. Now, you can still obviously look at the last decade if you want, but the reality is the Broncos run the AFC West currently, and they're going to run it for 2025, and you hope that that shifts in the future. But we mentioned kind of the phases of this, and both are now very real possibilities. One part has already happened, and I think there's a couple signs of it. The fourth quarter magic stuff is also not there. It's another sign that this is just not the same team that we have seen in the past. Patrick Mahomes, we have talked so much about coaching, but here's a number that I think tells you some of the issues. Now, coaching to me is part of this, but Patrick Mahomes is only completing 45%, just under 45% actually, of his passes when tied or trailing in the fourth quarter. I think it was Sam McDowell from The Star who put out that number, did the research on it. 44.7% of his passes when tied or trailing in the fourth. On one hand, that is all Patrick Mahomes, and you say, what is going on? I think it's a combination of things. He's pressing in the biggest moments. In the biggest moments, he is pressing, lack of trust in play calling, lack of trust still clearly at times maybe in his offensive line. And in the receiving game, other than Travis Kelce, I still wonder at times who does he trust? There's no excuse, though, in terms of the health. This football team, other than Isaiah Pacheco, this is still one of the healthiest teams in the National Football League.
I would argue the healthiest team in the National Football League.
They got Hollywood Brown. They have Tyquan Thorne. They have Healthy Worthy. I know he's playing with dislocated shoulder, but he's playing, so I consider him healthy, right? They've got Rashee Rice. They have the full arsenal of weapons. So that magic is just not there. It's the one score game regression, sure, but Mahomes in the fourth quarter is not even completing 50% of his passes. That is dead last in the NFL, by the way, that completion percentage right now. And Sean Payton, while I didn't like the comment at the time, just as someone that obviously wanted the Chiefs to win yesterday, he was spot on, though. And this is how teams feel about the Chiefs, though, right now. This was Sean Payton with Tracy Wolfson right out of the half.
We've done a good job. Obviously, there's a certain way a game's going to unfold, and this is to our advantage, we think. Offensively, we'll pick it up here. We converted some third downs. We had good field position with the return game, but the team we're playing is more of a first-half team. I like the way our defense is playing. That's a key matchup.
The last sentence there. The team we're playing, like, I didn't like the comment at the time. I was like, I didn't like that, right? He was right.
Yep.
And he has, and it's correct. And that mindset is totally different than how any other coach has talked about the Chiefs during this 7+ year run. Heck, even if you want to go further back and just the entire divisional run, but I'm talking the Mahomes era, so 7+ years, Logan, where teams do not fear them the same way, nor should they.
Right.
The numbers I just gave you about Patrick Mahomes, the one score game regression in a big way, the fact that Sean Payton, and he was correct, they're more of a first half team than a second half team. When would we ever have said that during this run of titles for Kansas City? This is all a sign of why it is so different than where they've ever been in the Mahomes era.
I mean, it was so telling yesterday watching the second half of that football game, specifically in the fourth quarter, when a play would end and you know, the camera angles would pan over to the sidelines and you looked at the Denver sideline and they would pan to Bo Nix, or they would pan over to Cortland Sutton or Sean Payton or whoever it was on that Broncos sideline. And for the first time in what's felt like a very long time, the one thing I didn't see on their faces was concern, was fear, was anxiety over the moment. And meanwhile, on the other side of the field, I didn't see that same level of confidence that I'm accustomed to seeing. You're exactly right. Mahomes is having to really push in the fourth quarter of these games, and it's not working. And you can't help but wonder why, because the weapons that he has at his disposal, I would argue, are more talented than any collective group of weapons he's ever had in his career.
So say that, and when you say that with any, well, I don't care whether we're talking about the Chiefs, we're talking about a college team or anything, if we all agree that this is, depth-wise, the best grouping, I think, at the wide receiver spot, and that they're healthy, and that they also had their starting left tackle back, and Josh Simmons, I thought, actually played pretty damn well. Now, mm-hmm. Juwan Taylor had his same issues again. Then what would that be? Normally, you would say what? You would say it's a coaching problem.
Right.
Which is why I started the show in that direction. This does not absolve Patrick Mahomes from blame, because I think there's plenty. But when you said what you just said, and we're acknowledging the roster and where it's at, that sounds like a coaching problem to me.
I agree it is. I also think, and the one position group maybe that we haven't mentioned just yet that does deserve some blame, is the wide receiver group. Namely, Rashee Rice had three drops yesterday, all three of them in massive spots that would have led to first downs, including that first offensive drive of the third quarter where Mahomes puts a perfect back shoulder throw on him that would have been a 30-plus yard gain and would have put him very much so in plus territory with an opportunity to score a touchdown, which would have been their first of the game, and it went clean through his hands. And you saw it over on the sideline late in that first half, and even after that drop in the third, he looked completely dejected. Completely out of this football game. Xavier Worthy and Mahomes, their connection, the level of trust that those two have on those deep throws just doesn't seem to be there. Mahomes ended up connecting with Tyquan Thornton in that second half on that big 61-yard pass, but he had him on that first drive of the game too and overthrew him as well. So I just think that you're right. You mentioned the lack of trust that Mahomes may have in his offensive line. I think that extends itself maybe even more so to the wide receiver group that he has, because they are so talented, but it just doesn't seem like those receivers believe in Mahomes, or Mahomes doesn't believe in them quite to the level that we need to see in a week 11 football game at this point in the year. It's just not there yet.
913-586-7965. Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Also, the phone line. Let's get to Uriah, I believe is. Yeah, Uriah from KC. You're on the show. What's going on?
Hey, man. Big fan of the show. But thanks. I want to talk about whose fault it really is. We all know that it's Patrick Mahomes' fault, but also it falls on Andy Reid, I think. Ever since, and Matt Nagy, ever since Bienemy left, I don't think that they've really had accountability, and everybody was angry at Bienemy because he wasn't friendly or whatever like that. But I just don't think that they have accountability anymore.
Hey, thanks for the call. Look, I think the discipline is a serious problem for the team with the penalties again. Now, somehow the Broncos had more penalty yardage yesterday, but the first half in particular was sloppy across the board. For Kansas City, mistake-filled, what, they were 0-2 in the red zone, 7 penalties for 49 yards, the drop passes, bad clock management, I thought, on defense near the end of the first half. I think there's probably some debate on whether or not Andy Reid should have called a timeout or not. I would have called a timeout right before half when they let the Broncos, it was, what, 4th and 1, 4th and an inch or whatever, and there was a chance, I think, yes, if they call a timeout with a minute or so to go, that the Broncos go for it, and so you're like, well, then you would have been in danger of allowing the Broncos to extend the drive. Make the Broncos make a play, though. Make them, instead of letting the clock go all the way down, you know, the aggressiveness and success of drives right before half and drives coming out of halftime have also just not been there this year the way they had been the year before. Now, the Eric Bieniemy thing, I knew we would eventually get a text or yep. a call. We got one right out of the gate. I understand that is how a lot of people feel. I just firmly still, you guys know, disagree on the notion that this team and their undisciplined nature is because Eric Bieniemy is not on the staff. Eric Bieniemy is currently a running backs coach again for the Chicago Bears. He's not calling plays for the Bears. Ben Johnson is running the show there. Eric Bieniemy has been an OC in Washington since. Then he went to college for a cup of coffee, I think, with UCLA or whatever. Now, again, he's the running back coach. The Chiefs have also won a ring since he has left, right? I disagree that would be changing. That does not absolve Andy Reid. That does not absolve Matt Nagy and the coaching staff from criticism. We've been doing that the whole first hour of the show. but I firmly disagree. As if Eric Bieniemy was here, and it would all be good. I'm sorry. I could not disagree more.
I agree. I'm with you. I also disagree. The only thing that I could say, maybe to the caller's defense, is there was a much more evident willingness to run the football at times, I believe, when it was Eric Bieniemy as the offensive coordinator versus Matt Nagy. Right, Nagy's a quarterback. He's going to want to throw the football. That's just inherently who he is a little bit, and that's always been who Andy Reid is. Bieniemy was a running back, you know, and so maybe there was a greater willingness to try to involve the running game at times, right? But I think overall, we all are of the understanding Andy calls the plays, Andy creates the game plan, right? Yes, Matt Nagy is there as a strategic confidant, I guess you could say, and is sort of like the one-on-one maestro for Patrick Mahomes when it comes to the between drive sort of stuff on game day. But the offense goes as Andy Reid dictates it, not as Matt Nagy dictates
it. And that's the thing when we can, I think tomorrow we're going to talk more about the idea, you know, in the offseason of fresh faces and voices and all that. We can talk all we want about whether it's Eric Bieniemy, whether it's any other voice in the offense being here in the future, whatever. If your head coach, in this case, it's Andy Reid, this applies for any organization, but if that person is also not willing to adapt, and you could have the smartest young up and coming future head coach in the league on your staff, if you're not listening to that person and having them have input in allowing them to potentially shift how you view certain things, then we're all wasting our time at the same, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter who your OC is at that point. If you are going to do what you are going to do, then I don't think there's much changing somebody that's had the success, frankly, that Andy Reid has had. And that's the tricky thing. This happens in the NFL and in college football as well. You have someone that has so much success, future Hall of Famer. Why, in a lot of cases, why will they be willing to pivot towards the end of their career? And I think it's a problem. And yeah, I agree. Eric Bieniemy held people accountable. I'm just saying, if you think this team is 5-5, and a lot of the issues would be fixed if Bieniemy's here, I'm just saying I disagree with that. We can agree to disagree. I'm saying I think we put way too much weight on that being the difference. Are they undisciplined? 100%. I think they're an undisciplined football team, and that falls on Andy Reid. And we've talked about the play calling, which is an Andy Reid thing and Matt Nagy thing in terms of game plan during the week. I'm all about having a different voice in the room in the offseason. We talked about that last year as well. But if Andy Reid's not willing to listen to that, then I don't know if it matters as much as we all think it does. All right, continue to take your calls. 913-586-7965. Robert in Blue Springs, you're on with Cody and Gold.
Hey, guys, fellas. Hey, hey, Gold, I want to say something that I agree with everything that you said up to this point in regards to, you know, Bieniemy was here, you know, the accountability, et cetera, et cetera. The one thing that I have noticed is this, and I'm sure you guys have too, in regards to the play calling, like, what was it, the 3rd and 2nd, 3rd and 1, where, you know, Kareem has been nailed on short yardage mm-hmm. situations, and then they go back and throw the ball, and I'm like, my God, like, what are we thinking here? You know, it's 1 yard. I understand, you know, you're trying to mix it up, and, you know, X's and O's, and I get all that stuff. But the one thing I have seen, and I've read about, and I've heard from you guys too, is the whole thing about being predictable. Mm-hmm. When that Bills fan came, or the Bills player came out and said that, and then now Sean Payton, from his film study and seeing everything else, obviously from a coaching perspective, that this is just a first half team. So they're whatever the situation is, and I think everybody is right that is called in or is spoken of. There maybe does need to be some new voices in the room within the coaching staff, because to me, once you are quote unquote predictable within any professional sport, it's game over.
Sure.
Because anybody can see curveballs coming and all these other type of things. But one thing I will say this is Andy Reid will run the football, but he only ran the football when he had Brian Westbrook.
Yeah.
Granted, Brian Westbrook is Brian Westbrook, an elite running back during his time.
Yeah.
But see, he will run the ball when he has a player that can do everything that Brian Westbrook has said. And one thing Andy Reid has said in the past, the best running back he has ever played for him was Brian Westbrook. So to me, he will do it, but he has to have the quote unquote that type of player. And you know what? the way they draft, and we all know this, mm-hmm. they draft late and all these late rounds and all this stuff. And like everybody has said before, you know, the draft class from this past season for running backs was the time to do it. And we were just stayed still. And it is what it is now, guys. I will say this. I'm more inclined to lean on what Dusty said this morning. I'm more on the side. You know, I'm not a bandwagon fan. I've seen this stuff since the days of Schottenheimer. So to me, it's more of, you know what? If it's just not our year, it's just not our year. And I know people don't want to hear it. But at the same time, it's like, you know, there are fundamental things that need to change. And I'm with you, Gold. Like you said at the beginning, you got to run the dang ball. That's all I got, fellas. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Robert. 913-586-7965. A couple of things there. Look, I think the running back point is interesting. I'm not convinced that the acquisition that everybody was texting about 2 or 3 weeks ago, or a week and a half ago, I guess, the trade down, like if Breece Hall was the running back for this team yesterday, I could be wrong, obviously, and we have no way to prove it. I'm not convinced Andy Reid runs the ball a single time more. I'm really not, guys. Like, you're right that Brian Westbrook was the best running back in Andy Reid's tenure, but I'm glad you brought up Philadelphia because, Robert, as you know as well as I do, this run game issue, lack of willing to run the ball, it goes back to his Philadelphia days, yep. man. Like, it goes back to the days with Philadelphia. And I think for them, the rest of the way, all right, they're obviously a 5-5 football team. If there is a chance for them to get hot, and you can laugh all you want, but if there is a chance for that to happen, it will require Andy Reid and the coaching staff to pivot and perhaps approach things differently than they want to approach things. And I think that's the stubbornness and ego part of it. And I think, look, we all have an ego to a certain extent. And I think if you're a coach and you've had the success that this entire coaching staff has had, it is, I'm sure, extremely difficult to pivot because you think, hey, we know what we're doing. We got this figured out. If they are not willing to, in this case, we're just talking running, but this goes to the defensive scheme. This goes to a lot. Then I don't know if it matters all that much. Like, nobody's suggesting that Kareem Hunt, as we said earlier, is this all-pro running back or anywhere near Brian Westbrook, okay? But he was having success yesterday, and they still were unwilling to do it. And, you know, we spent a whole topic, a whole segment or two on the show Thursday or Friday talking about under center and why it matters. And the Chiefs were in the bottom five, they still are, bottom five in the NFL in plays under center. Not necessarily runs, just being under center. And they're grouped with bad teams. Now, maybe you say this is where they belong. I don't think they belong with some of these teams, but they're not playoff teams, right? They were the bottom five with the Atlanta Falcons. Who else was there? The Saints. There was two other non-playoff teams. And then the top five were all playoff teams. The Bills were there, the Patriots, the Rams, the Seahawks. And as I said then, the Seattle Seahawks go under center 70% of the time. The Chiefs do not need to go under center 70% of the time. But better than 7% or 11%, I think it was, heading into the game. Like that to me, you have to have some belief if you're a defense that the Chiefs are willing to run the ball under center, or hell, even on that 3rd-and-1, 3rd-and-2 when they're in shotgun, and no team actually believes they're willing to do it. Therefore, the passing game is also that much tougher.
Yeah, I'm sort of back and forth on the caller's points that he brought up, because they did run the football with Brian Westbrook. They also ran the football with LeSean McCoy when he first kind of burst onto the scene there in Philadelphia. And also, I mean, lest we forget, they ran the football pretty effectively early on in Andy Reid's tenure with Jamal Charles before the injuries ultimately undid him, and with Kareem Hunt. What I think is the greater point here about the unwillingness to run the football, I think the biggest factor is because Andy Reid has Patrick Mahomes. You know, it was a little bit easier to justify running the football a little bit more when you had Donovan McNabb at quarterback and Michael Vick, who is considered one of the best running quarterbacks of all time, and Alex Smith. But when you had Andy finally gets a quarterback the caliber of somebody like a Patrick Mahomes, you're right. I really do not believe, no matter who the running back was, that they would actually run the football. I don't. And to say, you know, to point out guys like Brian Westbrook as somebody that ran the football, yeah, I mean, he had a few good. Brian Westbrook had two 1,000-plus yard seasons in his entire career. Two of them. And they both coincided with years where Donovan McNabb dealt with injury issues and didn't play all that much.
Yeah, the running back thing, like, we could have someone on from Philadelphia. The hey, he doesn't run enough thing, this is for a guy that's a Hall of Famer, this has been a story throughout his entire career.
Yeah, and that was in 2008.
It doesn't mean that there are not outlier seasons and we can all find one or two, but this is a 20-plus year conversation. In Philadelphia, towards the end as well, you know, it was the clock management stuff, and it was, hey, he doesn't want to run the football. Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid paired up together. Of course, they've had a tremendous amount of success. Nobody is acting like that doesn't exist. But yesterday was an example of something that has happened numerous times throughout Andy Reid's career. It's just now it's in the biggest game of the regular season of Patrick Mahomes' career and Andy Reid's time in Kansas City, and that was the product that you got. All right, one quick phone call, and then we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour. We'll talk more about Brett Veach, because he's the only name that really hasn't been discussed yet, because that's where I do agree with the caller. You guys, if you listen to the show, and I appreciate those of you that are loyal to the show, if you listen in March and April, did not think they attacked the running back position strongly enough. That we agree on. 913-586-7965. All right, Donald in, is this Lee Summit? Yeah, you're on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you for taking my call. We had a conversation a couple of weeks ago, and I drummed into the head the same thing, okay? Patrick Mahomes does his biggest damage when he's outside of the pocket. He doesn't have to worry about people knocking the ball down, tipping the ball, getting it intercepted because of that, and that's happened more than once, okay? I don't know why Andy doesn't understand that the offensive line is not creating that good of a pocket right now, and he needs to get Patrick out of the pocket. I don't know why that's so hard to understand when he's so dangerous. Number one, he gets better throwing lanes. And number two, a lot of times he'll see that he can take off and run for 10 yards. You can't do that when you're getting your butt knocked off in the pocket.
Donald, thanks.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Donald. Appreciate it. 913-586-7965. I don't know if I fully agree with that. I think Mahomes, when he's creative and, you know, positive, not with the current construction of how they've been playing this year. We mentioned this in games where he feels like he has to do everything and he's pressing. That's, they've had three red zone turnovers this year from Patrick Mahomes. They've lost all three of those games.
Yep.
Now, I'd have the interception yesterday. He was out of the pocket, by the way. The interception against the Jags, of course, was a play where the Jags in film study, they got him, right? He was in the pocket. It was a quick, he was going to try to throw a quick slant, and the linebacker, what's his name, for the Jags, took it back to the house. The red zone turnovers, I think two of them actually have been when he's been scrambling out of the pocket. I mean, that just, I understand what the caller is saying, but I actually think there's been plenty of times going back to last season as well with the offensive line where there's times where he doesn't step up in the pocket enough, actually, and bails on the pocket too soon.
Right. I agree with a lot of what he's saying, because I think generally speaking, for the majority of Mahomes' career, he has been at his best on those off platform, sure, outside the pocket throws. I don't think yesterday was the day to do it because of how talented that Broncos defense. I mean, there were several times where you saw Mahomes trying to get outside the pocket, but the lanes, I mean, the discipline on the edge rushing that the Broncos had made it really difficult. When Mahomes did want to get outside the pocket and do something with it, he was having to go 10, 15 yards beyond the line of, you know, behind the line, yeah, of scrimmage to get away from him because the Broncos weren't allowing him to do that. So I say, generally speaking, he is right on that. But yesterday, the Broncos did an incredible job of defending that and making it hard for Mahomes to be outside the pocket and make those off-platform throws and the magician sort of things that he is so known for.
All right, coming up next, we'll get to the 11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold. Who gets the most blame for you for the team being in this position? Not yesterday, but where the organization currently sits. Is it Andy Reid? Is it Brett Veach? Patrick Mahomes? Is there another name we're not thinking of? We'll continue to take your calls, discuss that. And how do we view the Broncos now? I know it's reality, though. They're atop the AFC West. Are they now a legit Super Bowl contender? That's next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Black Friday deals are going on all month long. Save up to 45% off site-wide, plus an additional 10% off every order at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.